you guys did. And I was able to take care of them. And my daughter has never recovered. People will always ask me after the meeting, my daughter suffered from absolute acute agoraphobia. She hasn't been out of her room since that day. I haven't seen her. The only person that sees her is her kids and her mother, and that's it. She won't talk to anybody at all. I pray for her, but I've been a part of my grandchildren's life ever since, and I've got them the right counseling, and they're part of my life, you know. And I got through that, and I didn't have to drink, and I didn't have to hurt nobody, and I didn't have to hurt myself, and a deal worked for me real good. You know, right after that, they told me that I had cancer, and they're having to cut off my lower lip. I like my lip. Right where it's at, you know. I've been chewing tobacco most of my life, man, and it finally just rotted my bottom lip off, and they said we're going to... I talked to my sponsor. He said, you got money? Go see another doctor. And I told him, he said the same thing. He says, go to another one. And I went to this other one, Dr. Asher, a wonderful plastic surgeon. And he said, well, we can do this surgery. It's going to be very, very painful. Are you allergic to anything? And I said, anything that affects me from the neck up. And he goes, what do you mean? I said, you can't put anything in my body that'll block anything. I can handle all the physical pain you can give me, man. But I'm going through emotional pain right now. And if you block me from that, I will never be able to stop using it. And he goes, well, it's non-addictive. I said, if it makes me stop feeling, believe me, it's addictive. He goes, I said, have you ever seen an active heroin addict? He goes, well, yeah, at the hospital. I said, no, in your living room. You put dope in me and you are now responsible for me forever. I'm calling you daddy. And I ain't telling you I'm any big tough guy, and I ain't telling you what to do with your medication. You do whatever the hell you want to do with it. I'm real lucky. I got here with most of my brain cells burned out, and I only know a few things that are absolutely burned in rock, and the main thing is this, that I don't know what it is, but ain't nothing in my life more important than me being sober. There ain't nothing more important than me doing whatever I got to do to stay sober. I don't ever want to go back where I come from. I'm not real smart. The only thing I know for absolute sure is it, no matter what I got to do, it's easier to stay sober than to get sober again. That's all I know. You know, I never get to get sober again. I know that. Never happened. God only opens that door people like me once, you know. And I got through that, though. You know, all the guys I sponsor, they're a bunch of old outlaws, biker, crazy bastards, and they come over and they take care of me. What they're trying to do, they cut the whole bottom of my lip out like that and then put it all together with some other skin, sewed everything together, and I did it on Tylenol and ibuprofen, and I did it like a little schoolgirl. I sniveled and whined every single day, all day, and all the guys came over and laughed at me, would try to tell me jokes to make me laugh, so I'd split it open, you know, and but they took care of me, you know, and it didn't work. You know, I didn't have to take their stuff. You know, I got down through that, man, and didn't have to use their dope. And I came home, and my wife, I loved her with all my heart. She came in, and she was crying, and I said, what's the matter? She goes, I can't do this no more. I said, do what? She goes, Kip, I'm a lesbian. I'm in love with Chrissy, and I can't live this lie no more. I'll get drunk. I didn't expect that one, you know. AA didn't give me no tools for that one, you know. I didn't know what to say. I started cursing her. That's what I do. You scare me, or do I start cursing you? I start threatening you, man. That's the only thing I know. Start yelling, raising hell, calling her all kinds of stuff. You know, she was Catholic. She had got me involved in the Catholic Church, and I loved it. And you know, I got involved with this preacher named, or this priest named Bill Wilson. Irish priest from Ireland. He'd been sober in Alcoholics Anonymous for 38 years. And he was my mentor in that faith. And I ain't here to talk about religion. I'm here to talk about AA. But you know, I called that priest. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go talk to him. Now, my true motive is I'm going to rat this chick out. I'm going to get her excommunicated straight to hell. You know? That's my real motive. I walk in. I'm sitting with Father Bill in his office. He had this beautiful Irish brogue. And I'm telling him about this. And he goes, oh, God, Kip. Oh, my Lord. Oh. Oh, Kip, oh. He says, oh, son, you must feel like life has screwed you square in the ass. I said, Father, that's exactly how I feel. What do you think? He goes, I think you make me sick. He goes, who the hell do you think you are? You ever read that book you're always talking about? You ever tried to practice what it says when it affects you? Or are you just good at telling other people what to do? I go, what are you talking about? He says, oh, you sound just like that guy on page 60. You know, the guy that thought he could wrest satisfaction out of life if he did everything just right. Do you think that was just when you were drinking? Because that's who you are. Because you keep telling me, you know, what you did for her, what you did for her children. You were this, you were that. Now she has done that. Who the hell made you God? Did you do that for a, because you loved her and because that was your job? Or did you expect her to react a certain way? I said, I think your motives were screwed up. And I said, you know, have you ever read the next page? You ever read the bottom of page 62? You know, if you're going to do any of this, what the very first thing you got to do? Quit playing God. Every time you play God, you're going to get irritable, restless, and discontent. Anytime you stand in judgment of one of God's kids for any reason, you're going to get restless, irritable, and discontent. You're only responsible for three things: your actions, your reactions to their actions, and your inactions. Keep your do that and keep your nose out of everybody else's business. I said, what do I do? He says, you go make amends. You apologize for the things you said. You give her anything she wants. She's been a good wife. She's a good woman. She's a good member of Alcoholics Anonymous. And your sexuality is none of your business. She is not your property. That's between her and God. And I did, and she took my boat. Now, that ain't right. That just ain't right, you know. Her girlfriend liked to fish, so I said, you can have anything she wants. She goes, good, I'm taking the boat. No yeah buts. She took my boat, you know, and God bless her. She kept my last name. Tells everyone she's my sister. And I love her, and she loves me. And I didn't know that you could do that. You know, I didn't know that you could allow a relationship to change and evolve in a completely different way. Wow. I didn't know that. Wow. You know, I thought I was done with you. I kick you to the curb next. You know, I didn't know I could. See, our relationship had not been based on sex. It had been based on the principles of Alcoholics Anonymous. I loved her as a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. I loved her for the service work she did in AA, the way she sponsored women, the way she carried herself, the way she did things. And after I got back and got my part of it out of it, you know, what I thought I had coming, I just stood and admired the hell out of her. You know, what a courage it took to come and tell me that, you know. And she's still a very dear friend of mine to this day. She married that gal. She took my name, too. I got two sisters. Who? Go figure, you know. You know, I got through that, man. I didn't think I got attacked by this damn dog, man. I almost lost my right arm, almost chewed it completely off. And I'm in this hospital. All the guys I sponsor stand, they rush to that hospital. About 20 motorcycles beat the ambulance there, and they hold these bikers running in. Don't give that man any narcotics! And those guys just squarmed me, man, and they took care of me. And a member of our emergency room is a solid member of Alcoholics Anonymous, and he grabbed hold of me and protected me. You know, and they got me, and those guys stayed in there and talked with me and took care of me and watched everything those people put in my body, and they took care of me and they loved me. You know, but I got out, I couldn't work no more, and I lost my business, I lost my house, I lost absolutely everything in the sun. You know, that last thing I had was my daughter. I had a little bit of credit, and a man came and said, I want to marry your daughter, and she said that I have to have your permission. And I said, really? She goes, yeah. I traded that right for a bottle of wine, and you guys gave it back to me. I had enough credit. Still, I didn't have nothing, but I told my daughter, I said, and I checked him all out, you know, and he's a good man. And I gave her the wedding I dreamed about giving her the day she was born, Torrey Pines Beach. And I had 200 people there, 200 outlaw convicts in tuxedos, acting like gentlemen, and they are gentlemen, you know. My son was there with me, and he was in a tuxedo, and me and her walked her down the aisle. And they've been married for 15 years now. I just finished paying for that wedding. Last year, I made my last payment, you know. But I gave her that. You guys gave her that, not me. And she left, and it was just me and my son. My sunshine, my little boy, you know, they told me to pray that kid dies. And the men in Alcoholics Anonymous, I met some men that had handicapped children, and they got me involved in a lot of different organizations, and they taught me how to be a parent to a handicapped child. And it got me involved in schools and all kinds of different organizations that I started volunteering time with, Crippled Children of America, Special Olympics Project, and up at a school up in Riverside. And my son got involved in that school and he started growing and flourishing. And at the age of 23 years old, he graduated from high school, you know. And he came down and he couldn't speak sign language. He couldn't talk, he spoke sign language, you know. And he lived with me and he worked with me and he was my best friend. He was the kind of kid, man, I just loved that boy, man. He was with me all the day, every single day. Went to people in Alcoholics Anonymous, loved him. He was an alcoholic, man. You gave him a bottle of liquor, he'd drink it to the bottom, pass out. And he loved AA. He didn't know what you're saying, but man, he sure did like the laughter. You know, and he'd always, all the, he grew up in AA meetings from the time I got sober. You know, he got real sick and I had to go to a hospital. He needed one more surgery and he did that surgery and he got a staph infection in his blood. And I sat with him in that hospital for the next 3 months and he got worse and worse. On October 4th, I came in early in the morning and the nurse said, you know, your son's really excited. He really wants to talk to you. And so I got in there and my son was sitting there and his eyes were bright. He'd been real sick. And he was smiling, and he says, come here, come here, come here. And I come over, and he looked at me, and he's this big smile, and he says, Dad, you don't have to worry about me no more. And I said, why? He says, God came and talked to me. He said, he's going to take care of me from now on. He goes, you don't have to worry about me no more. And he just smiled, and he was content. And me and him sat there all day long, just talking and looking at each other, and went outside, pushed him around the wheelchair. And I left home at about 6 o'clock that night. And all the guys I sponsored were staying at my house. They were all taking about 20 guys there. And I got a call no sooner I got home that my son had completely collapsed and got into coma, and I had to run back to the hospital. And I got there and all brain activity had ceased. He'd had a seizure and everything stopped. And he was gone. His body was still alive. And I had to tell them to go ahead and pull the plug. And we ever been around anyone when they take off life support, they don't just stop. That body fights to stay alive. And I held on to that little boy's body and he went into convulsions and he shaked and he moved and I just held him as hard as I could and I cried harder than I've ever cried in my life. And when he passed on, I asked everybody to leave the room and I cleaned him and I washed him just like I did when he was a baby and I shaved him for his last time. And I got on my knees and I thanked God for you people who taught me how to be the kind of father I dreamed about being the day he was born. And my son had a relationship with God and he was okay and I knew that. And I got to find, it says that we will know serenity in those promises. See, I know what serenity is. I've got to experience it. Serenity has nothing to do with watching a beautiful sunset with a pretty gal with a lot of money in your pocket, although that is very nice, you know. Serenity is watching someone you love, something that you absolutely love, see it go away, see it die, and hurting more than you know it was even humanly possible to hurt, but exactly the same time, knowing in your heart of hearts that this is all God's business and God don't make any mistakes and none of it is personal. You know, it's just life on life's terms. And I got back to my house, man, and I was drained. And I got up there, and my buddy Scotty, a good friend of Larry's, he's in there, and he's just taking such good care of me. And all the guys, they didn't know what to say or do. And Scotty said, man, there's this new guy you're sponsoring, Henry, man. He just keeps calling all day long. Something's going on. I said, man, Scotty, I don't want to talk to nobody, man. I'm empty. He goes, all right, and the phone rang, and there's Scotty going, and he looks at me, and I said, give me the phone. I said, I'm talking to Henry, and Henry's brand new. He's got about a week, you know. And he starts talking. I said, Henry, listen to me. I said, my son just died in my arms about 45 minutes ago, man. I'm pretty devastated. I'm completely empty. I don't know if I got anything to offer you. And he said, man, that's too bad, Kip. He says, but this is really important. I got real mad all of a sudden, you know? And then I started laughing. See, my son already told me he didn't need me no more. I was done. My job there was done. This guy needed me. says in one of the things that we give our vow to, it says that anytime anyone anywhere reaches out for help, I want the hand of AA to be there for that. I am responsible. Not you, me. He didn't call you, he called me. It was my job. I said, you're right, man. This is important. Why don't you come on over? Fellowship, we're going to have a little barbecue and sit, have a little meeting out here tonight. Why don't you get on over here and hang with the fellas? You know, and he did. And Henry's still sober today, so am I. You know, all those guys where there are. You know, and things are going in my life, man, everything is gone. I ain't got a clue to what to do next. I tell my sponsor, I'm telling him, you know, I'm really lonely, and I'd really like to have a relationship. And he goes, with a woman? And I said, well, yeah. He goes, nah. He says, Kip, you've been really damaged in one area of your life, and you don't want a woman. You want some woman to validate you as a man. He goes, son, it's absolutely impossible for an alcoholic if they have to have a relationship. That's not a relationship. You're looking for another human being to make you okay. Another human being ain't going to make you okay. That ain't a relationship. I said, so what, can I date? He said, keep it light. He says, I want you to go to school. You only got a seventh grade education. You've always felt less than. You've done remarkable things because you read well. He says, I want you to, you don't got no one dependent on you no more. I want you to go get an education. And that's what I did. And I went to school. You know, anything worth doing is worth abusing. I started out with one class and ended up with 24 units, 2.5 years, no breaks. And I got this degree, you know, just like a thermometer. You know where they stick thermometers? But I accomplished something, you know. I did it. You know, I had one woman that took advantage of my good nature once. Dennis understands. You know, I'm weak. What can I say? You know, but, you know, I was sitting at home. I graduated from school. I'm sitting in my, I've got a beautiful little house out in the country. Got my dog, Sam, with me. Got my pickup. All my boots are shined. I got a big pot of beans going, some cornbread in the kitchen, watching this ball game with my dog. And this gal called. She said, Kip, I've been thinking about you. You've been alone for a long time. I said, I sure have. She goes, yeah, I was wondering, why don't you come on over here and I'll fix you dinner and maybe we could mess around. I went, wow, I'm really flattered. But I'm watching this game. And I got a big pot of beans and some cornbread going on. And maybe I could take a rain check. And she hung up on me. You know, and I went, wow. And then I went, where the hell did that come from? Where the hell did that? I mean, I would have been there before she hung up, you know? But I really realized my sponsor told me I couldn't have a relationship until I didn't need a woman to validate me as a man. I had to have a relationship with me and like my company before I could offer it to anybody else. He said, only then do I have anything to offer anybody, you know? Then it's about the person. It's not about you. And, you know, I went, thank you, Father. Thank you so much, man. This is such a blessing, man. I said, you know, but if it be your will, I'd love to experience true life, true love once more. But if not, I'm overpaid. And about 2 weeks later, I get this phone call in the morning. It was this gal who took advantage of me's mother. And she goes, oh, Carmen got drunk last night with this other gal, and they got in a horrible accident in Los Angeles in this freeway. She's got massive brain damage. She's broke her legs in 60-some places. She'll never get out of the hospital. And I'm going, wow. I said, I'm really sorry. Is there anything I can do? I don't know why she's calling me, you know. And she goes, well, what do you want to do with your daughter? And I said, my daughter? What are you talking about? She says, you don't know. I said, no what? She goes, you got a three-month-old daughter. I said, nah. She goes, yeah. She goes, and I ain't raising no more kids. What do you want me to do with it? I said, where do you live? She said, you're in Burbank. That's about over 100 miles from me. I said, okay, give me your address. And I got my little 240Z, and I drove up there, and I'm just praying all the way. I don't know what to do. You know, I just, next indicated thing, and I got up there, I knocked on her door. She opened the door. She said, Kip, how are you? I said, I'm fine. She goes, here's her papers, here's the baby, here's the bassinet, good luck. I'm looking at this little baby, and she's got my nose, my eyes. She looks up at it and gives me this big grin, you know, and my heart absolutely exploded, fell in my, And God gave me exactly what I asked for, true love. Ain't no such thing as true love with one of you women. It's all conditional upon my behavior, you know. My first wife, she couldn't sleep until I got out of jail when we first met. At the end, I called her. I'd been gone for almost 2 months. She said, "Where are you?" I said, "I'm Zuatanejo." She goes, "What do you want?" I said, "Send me some money or I'll come home." That's where all true love with women always ended up, you know. But, man, I love my children, man. There ain't nothing my child could ever do to make me not love them. And I asked for true love, and God gave me just what I asked for. And all these guys are saying, "You got to get a blood test, make sure that's your baby." I said, "No. God gave me this baby. I ain't giving this baby back to anybody. This is my baby. She needs a daddy. I need a baby." You know, and I ain't never had no blood test, and she's 14 years old now, and she's the sunshine of my life, my little Nanu. You know, and about a year later after that, it was just me and her, and I was at a meeting, and a gal asked if she could hold my daughter, and I'd been on many committees in AA. She's been a real active member of AA, Sabrina, and I let her hold my baby, and I saw the way she was looking at it, you know, and I went, "Wow." And I said, "You like kids, honest?" She goes, "Yeah, I've always wanted to be a mother." I said, "Really?" I said, "Well, how's your husband?" She goes, "We got a divorce 2 years ago." I said, "No kidding, I didn't know that." She goes, "Yeah." I said, "Where'd you get a divorce?" She goes, "Oh, I wanted to have children, and he didn't, so I kicked him out." I said, "Oh." My wife today is a classy lady. I mean, the only relationship she's ever had with a cop, she dated one once, you know? She's an avid tennis player, jock, country club gal. You know, she's got 3 different degrees, and she's a lady. I don't know what the hell she sees in me, but, you know, we hooked up, and we're going to celebrate 13 years of marriage in March. And and I've never yelled at my wife. I've never been unfaithful to my wife. I conduct myself as a married man wherever I am. And I travel all over this world, and I am a married man, and I conduct myself that way. Not for her, for me. You know, I'm married. My word means something. I gave my word that I would be faithful to you to the day I die, and I mean it with every fiber of my being. You know, I don't care what she does. It's what I do that's important, you know. You know what? A year after we were married, I got to go cut the cord on a little boy. His name is Will. And Will's my fishing buddy. Will's going to be 13 here pretty soon. And I am God's favorite child. I'll tell you the way it is today, man. I got a home that's almost completely paid for in Southern California. I can see the ocean from there. I just doubled the size of that house. You know, I've got a garden I've been working on for years. Larry and me have sat out there and prayed many a time. You know, I collect rare tropical plants, and I have a garden that's my spot that nobody can tell me to move on. You know, I'm married to a woman that I absolutely adore. All my neighbors love me, every one of them. They all wave at me with all 5 fingers. "Hey, Kip, how you doing, buddy?" You know, I've been taking care of my mother since I got sober. She's progressively gotten worse. I'm the only person she remembers now, you know. And I'm with her every single day, and I take care of all of her financial needs and all of her medical needs. And she'd be going into a home pretty quick. She's just about done. But you guys taught me and gave me the ability to be the kind of father, the kind of husband, the kind of son that I always wanted to be, and I'm that kind of son that my mother deserves, and I take care of her. I've been with my brothers, all of them in sobriety as they died one at a time. You know, other than Bill, my other 2 brothers, I held their hands as they died, as they passed on. I took care of my father for the last year of his life, and I was holding hands with him. He died. You know, God has allowed me and Alcoholics Anonymous to experience everything there is to experience in life. People coming and people going, joys and pain and wonderful things and sad things. I haven't had to amplify or hide from nothing. I'm here to tell y'all one thing and one thing for sure, that Alcoholics Anonymous works. It works real, real good. And if there's anything I could give you new people, God, I hope you haven't got one friend left on the face of the earth. I hope you ain't got one thing left to hawk. I hope you run out of friends and enemies, and most of all, I sure hope you're out of all ideas. You know, when you get right to that spot, we can help you. You know, that's all I got for you. Thank you for your patience.
Wow, thank you so much, Kip.